for coming, y'all. I'm going to give a broad overview of our lab's work with the reproductive soldiers, also called soldier neotenics, of Zootomopsis, which is in their very primitive termite family, Termopsidae. And reproductive soldiers, or soldier neotenics, are a very little studied cast in termites that can, as you might see throughout the end of my talk, have implications for us understanding the maintenance and evolution of eusociality. So just some backgrounds. Termites, of course, are eusocial insects. We have the king and queen, or primary reproductives, that have a monopoly in all the reproduction in the colony as long as they're alive and well. They live with multiple generations of their offspring, the defensive soldier, the so-called larvae, and the eggs, which need some amount of brood care, and helpers, also called workers, and the higher termites, which do a lot of the work in the colony. As we know, eusociality is also always posed a challenge for evolutionary biologists because it's hard to understand how it can be maintained. There's a lot of non-mutually exclusive theories to help get at this problem, but we have chosen to look at it from the context of ecology because ecological pressures seem to be very important in our taxa. So we study termopsids as a model system for eusociality because termites have no non-social or subsocial taxa. They're completely social. And since termopsids maintain very primitive colony conditions, that they are a good model system for us to understand how proto-termites, you know, many millions of years ago, might have lived as eusociality was evolving in these taxa. So they have a primitive colony structure. They live and eat inside the same piece of wood, small group sizes, and they maintain very flexible development, which will become important as you'll see. So there's no endpoint worker caste. They have just the working is done by so-called helpers, which are just juveniles with sort of arrested development. And neoteny is really important. So you have a lot of neotenic reproductives that act as supplementary reproductives. Generally, they're like this guy, which are derived from a helper, just a couple molts for a juvenile and become reproductive. But much more uncommon, and only in a few species, you see what are called soldier neotenics, or reproductive soldiers, which look like soldiers in a lot of ways, but are actually fully reproductive. And this is the focus of our research. So soldier neotenics only occur in 6 species of termopsids. In those 6 species, they're not that uncommon, however. They were previously thought to be rare, but we found them to be a little more common. And as you can see, they have a very similar morphology to regular soldiers, that big head, those heavy mandibles, but there's some subtle differences. The mandibles are shorter, they're more curved, the head's a little more round, and behaviorally, they act a lot like normal neotenics in that they're not as aggressive as soldiers. They tend to stay with the brood. They don't patrol. And of course, they're reproductively active. And because they are sort of an intermediate form between a soldier and a neotenic, we feel that they may represent a sort of a throwback sort of to the day when soldiers were not totally sterile in termites. And understanding their biology may help us understand how sterile soldiers would have evolved in a eusocial system. So here, as we see, Zootomopsis is very close to the base of the termite tree, really close to the roaches. And we're going to approach them from several different angles, morphology, development, and then interaction. So let me start with morphology. Wanted to try to quantify the differences between a regular soldier and a soldier neotenic. There's a lot of different characteristics we've been using sort of qualitatively in the lab, including a lot of characteristics of the head, as you see here, and then characteristics of the extension of the abdomen. So we wanted to quantify this, and we wanted to try to correlate these external differences with the internal degree of gonad development that would tell how reproductive it is. So we have found some significant correlates with gonad size in terms of the head shape, how round it is, different characteristics of the mandible and the labrum. I'm just going to show you one example of these data. This is looking at females. Oops, my y-axis didn't come in. Well, this is the female head shape versus on the y-axis that should be the width of her ovaries. So we measured head roundness by the ratio of the head length to the width. So towards the left end of the x-axis, as it gets closer to 1, it's a rounder head, and as it gets larger, it's a more oblong head. And you can see that as the head gets more oblong, those ovaries tend to get narrower. And so the ones in the circle in the upper left are ones we would call generally soldier neotenics. So this is just one of the many characteristics we take into account to see if something is a soldier neotenic or just a regular soldier. Moving on, I'm going to talk a little bit about development of soldier neotenics. Hardly anything is known about lower termite development at all, let alone these very understudied soldier neotenics. So we wanted to see if soldier neotenics were sort of an offshoot of a soldier developmental line to become reproductive. And we did this by doing colony manipulations in which we had a number of colonies about the same age, same size, both with two soldiers and both king and the queen. So what we did was remove both soldiers from that colony, thus inducing some of the larvae to have those soldier genes to be upregulated and turn on and have them start developing as soldiers. But before they were able to molt into soldiers, we then removed the kings from the colony, thus sending a stimulus for male reproduction start developing in the young. And our thought was that if those two signals were sort of crossed in the same individual, you get sort of a hybrid, the soldier neotenic, if in fact soldier neotenics are offshoots of a soldier developmental line. And we contrasted this against a control in which we left the soldiers be and just removed the king to send only the reproductive developmental signal. We did not actually find any significant differences between that treatment with remove the soldiers and the king versus the control where we remove just the king. So this implies that soldier neotenics are not actually derivatives of a developing soldier line. They're actually very possibly have their own completely separate development from that of soldiers. And finally, I want to talk about intergroup interactions. These interactions are extremely important in the lives of primitive termites, which, as I mentioned, live and eat inside the same piece of wood, same standing dead tree. So that wood is an extremely limited resource, and conflict is sort of inevitable in battling over that resource. So basically, you have timed flights in the wild of alates. They leave, they pair up, they colonize a standing dead tree. In the standing dead tree, you're going to have hundreds of new incipient colonies. Here in the upper corner under this bark of this tree, you can see the outline of one small little colony. There's going to be hundreds of these. And as they grow, those colonies are going to abut against each other, and then they're going to fight, basically. So we found, strangely enough, that when two colonies of equal size abut against each other and the conflict happens, it's not all-out war. What it is actually targeted war against each other's reproductives, against the kings and the queens and other reproductive forms. And then once some or all of those are killed off, the whole colony actually merges and lives happily ever after. And then new individuals then are allowed to develop into reproductive forms. So because this is really important, this offers really good insight into how group living might have been selected for in these taxa, because you can see that if an individual termite, you know, faces the danger of leaving the nest, they might want to stay where it's safe, help out a little bit, but then there's a good opportunity that mom or dad is going to die off in one of these battles, and they would have the opportunity to molt into a neotenic and take over reproduction. So our data has shown that when you have a colony with a soldier neotenic versus a colony with a king and a queen, that soldier neotenic is an extremely effective assassin, goes straight for the opposite king, beheads him in one fell swoop, and then that colony is sort of the victor in terms of that. So we wanted to see what actually would happen when you pit two colonies with neotenic forms against each other. What would happen when you have a soldier neotenic headed colony versus a regular neotenic headed colony? And our thought was, of course, that the soldier neotenics would be much better at surviving than those of the regular neotenics just because of this great armament they have right there in the front of their face. So to test this, we set up interaction colonies with these plastic dishes with a tube in between them that we could clamp off. And so we took two colonies about equal size, one with all neotenic reproductives and the other with at least one soldier neotenic reproductives, painted the two colonies red and blue, set them up in here for a week with their own nesting material to habituate. Then after a week, we took off the clamp and let them go at it. And we've only done a few of these so far, but what we have found is that indeed the soldier neotenics, those colonies, their reproductives tend to survive, whereas the colonies that have only neotenic reproductives, those neotenics are toast, they are gone. And then afterwards, after those neotenics are dead, the colonies merge happily ever after. Again, here you can see the reds and the blues living together. And here's the soldier neotenic surviving with some of his female harem with him. There's some collateral damage down here, but most of the violence is directed only towards the reproductive, specifically the relatively unprotected neotenics. The implications of this research, as I said, these are a great model system for understanding primitive conditions and proto-termites. So if we understand more about the sort of the reproductive dynamics of these colonies, it would help us understand a lot more about the evolution of group living and ultimately eusociality in this taxa. Any questions? Yes.
Well, it seems like a pretty successful strategy that I don't see in other subterranean termites. Why don't I see reproductive soldiers given that this seems to be an adaptive strategy?
That's a good question. His question was, why don't you tend to see reproductive soldiers in subterranean termites since this is an effective strategy? You know, I don't know, and it's hard to answer that because we just know so little about the development of these guys, what they're developing from, you know, what are these pathways, and so it's hard to say, but just because the fact that termopsids have such flexible development, it might be easier for them to have such strange casts as a reproductive soldier. You have a question?
Yeah, I think it's going to be that there's evolutionary pressure to create and manipulate neopetics.
Yeah.
That makes me wonder if the mandibles have an effect more in infighting in the group, which wouldn't be a problem for early colonies since they're all reproductive. So killing off brothers and sisters.
His question was, it seems that mandibles would be more effective in intra-colony interactions, killing brothers and sisters, than between colonies. I don't know, because we've seen these soldier neotenics to be relatively non-aggressive compared, you know, only they're only really aggressive when they're faced with like a king or a reproductive from an opposite colony. We haven't seen any aggression towards the same colony. But we know that there is aggression within one colony. We see neotenics, they're standard neotenics with scars on their heads a lot of the time. We've never seen them fight, but we're assuming that there is some battle going on over who gets to be a neotenic and who doesn't. But we don't have a lot of data on that yet.
Well, the next presentation is canceled, so you guys can continue this discussion if you need to.
Okay. What should I?
If you can go.
Oh, okay.